I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. There's a new show about to come to AMC called The Walking Dead. It's a show about zombies, it's based on the comic of the same name, and it's got some powerhouse talent behind it. Today I'm talking with two of those people, Frank Darabont and makeup effects guru Greg Nicotero. This is a roundtable interview at Comic-Con, so it may be a little noisy at times, but I'm sure you're going to enjoy it.
They're closing in like zombies, these things.
They start moving closer and closer.
I'm the first out the door.
Right.
Okay.
Our zombies don't eat brains. That's a fallacy.
I know that's a big myth from Return of the Living Dead. Dan O'Bannon and those folks have completely skewed the perception of what a zombie actually is and does.
And the irony was, as a shoot gift, AMC handed hats to the whole crew and it said, "I heart brains" on it. And I looked at it, and Frank, and I went, "Wrong show."
Wrong show.
It was really nice, but
wrong
I never
zombies.
Wear that hat.
I love Return of the Living Dead, though.
It was fun. Very different.
Part three. Part three.
Yes. With Melinda Clark.
I don't see part threes usually of mostly anything.
Rocky three?
Oh, God. How long ago was that?
I don't know.
1979 or 80 or something?
Yeah.
So are your zombies different in any other way?
I'm trying to think. No, not really. This is really old school Book of Genesis, Night of the Living Dead kind of zombies. I'm not that keen on revisionism, as a rule.
The scene.
Unless we're talking westerns, that's a whole different subject. we're kind of thrown back to the good old days. I mean, I guess the keenest, cleverest, sort of revisionist zombie thing isn't really even a zombie thing. Is 28 Days Later, which I adored, but.
Yeah.
We're the old good old lurching, drooling, you know, George Romero kind of mindset on this thing.
Well, George really set up the rule. It's kind of funny because I was talking to somebody earlier and I said, well, if there really was a zombie outbreak, we have no idea if shooting him in the head would kill them. Everyone just assumes, yeah, you shoot him in the head. Because George made those rules up, you cut the head off, you separate the head, and it's done. So.
Yeah.
We could be in big trouble if it really ever happens. But we had a three-day zombie school where we auditioned everybody zombie walks. And Frank and I talked a lot about the holy grail of zombie sequences, and it's the cemetery scene in the original Night of the Living Dead, because you see Bill Heintzman in the background, and he's sort of moving and lurching, but when he attacks Johnny, and then he goes after Barbara, he gets into a bit of a frenzy. So it's not sort of slow and lumbering. They become threatening and aggressive and scary.
And somewhat fast.
Yeah.
Not like Jesse Owens at the Munich Olympics. Fast. Not like Zack Snyder or Danny Boyle fast, but that some bitch is kind of moving along pretty good. Got such a big kick out of the incessant, endless internet debate. Fast zombies versus slow zombies. The slow zombie contingent always claim that zombies don't run. I was like, have you seen Night of the Living Dead? That some bitch, that first zombie, is running.
Chases a car.
He's moving pretty fast. So Greg and I, really, from the get-go, said, as far as zombie speed is concerned, of course they can run, but let's limit it to obviously when they are in a frenzy, because many times they're not. Mm-hmm. In Romero land, Romero logic. In Zack Snyder or Danny Boyle world, they're always running.
Right.
Really, really, they're like Olympic sprinters. The way we read this is that they are fundamentally mindless and indeed do a lot of standing around and staring at nothing. But they are predatory, and when like any animal, when riled to that state by hunger, aggression, whatever, they get dangerous and they move faster. And I think you look at Romero's oeuvre, and it bears a sound.
Sure.
Because you can't just have zombies shuffling along like the mummy. You remember the old jokes about the mummy? If you can't outrun the mummy, you deserve to die. And it's true.
You talked a little bit in the panel about, and I wanted to go back to some interviews that I had read previously with you, Frank, as well as with Robert, where you talked about being on AMC and maybe there being some advantage to not having like a completely wide open freedom of like an HBO, you know, type of series. But then in the panel today, you said you really haven't run into any that you could tell
obstruction
to stuff you want to get in the show.
Yeah, I'm not experiencing any constraints here, and we're doing some pretty. Back me up here. Some pretty edgy stuff, you know. I mean,
stuff like pretty gore, or
yeah. You know, to the point where at times I when we're shooting some of this stuff, I'm thinking, I can't believe they're going to let us put this on television.
Well, and it's
I don't want to make it sound like, you know, like some fucking snuff film where puppies are being clubbed by sledgehammers. But still, you know, I guess the bottom line is in terms of how we want to depict something in the show that we're doing, whether we want to do a little, whether we want to do creatively less is more, or whether we want to do more is more. Because, okay, this deserves to be more of a Romero kind of moment or a Nicotero kind of moment. We're making those decisions based upon how we feel like shooting the thing and not based on what we can and cannot do.
And so you had both of those instances on?
Yes.
Definitely.
Like most days.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, in an effort to streamline, I mean, I've done a lot of zombie films, and you know we know that there's going to be big zombie days, and we know that zombies are going to get shot in the head. So, you know, one of the things that George never had to worry about in Dawn of the Dead was if you could put a strap a squib on an extra, nobody ever cared. So you just have an extra walking through the Monroeville Mall, boom, and shoot him, and they would drop. So of course the laws change, and now it has to be a stunt person. So one of the things we came up with was this little rig that we could strap on any of the stunt or any of the extras that was like a good exit wound blood spray. And it was one of those things where, you know, it's not an explosive, so we don't have to worry about hurting anybody. It's safe. So we came up with this little rig that basically runs a big tube off to a little sort of bellows foot pedal. So it's like the zombie would walk up and you'd step on the thing and the blood would shoot out. And it worked. It worked really well. And there was one day we were shooting with Frank, and Frank's like, "That was so George Romero. I loved it." And he's like, "Put more blood in." So I was like, "Wow, okay, sure." But, you know, that's part of the fun is it knowing that the practical, you know, seeing the blood spray and the reaction. And you know, there are other scenes where, you know, if Rick's running through a crowd of zombies and the camera's following him and it's boom, 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 and people will be dropping, then there will be those shots editorially. Well, then they might add a little CG blood spray here or there, you know, and that's obviously a factor of the way the shot is being, you know, composed and how it's being directed.
Question about the zombies. They are even in Romero's movie. They are a metaphor for the society and all the consummation and all that kind of thing. What about nowadays? What do the zombies stand for in The Walking Dead? Are they a metaphor or are they just dead people walking around?
To me, they're just dead people walking around. I mean, of course they're metaphor, but you know, not to be glib about the answer. Of course they are, but it feels to me like those metaphors have been covered by filmmakers, you know, the giants upon whose shoulders we stand. You know, they've kind of laid those metaphors out through decades of these films, particularly George Romero has done so. I don't know that I'm going to bring anything new to those metaphors as a filmmaker. So my focus is really on the human part of the story. We'll certainly find metaphors as we go. That's one of the wonderful things about the creative process is that you find, if you care about what you're doing, you find yourself saying things as you develop a script or as you're finalizing the pages, as you are in that creative process. You go, oh, wow, this episode kind of turned out to be a little bit about this hidden thematic thing. And that's great. But it's not like we have to... a set of, you know, like an, it's a set agenda of, you know, metaphorical touch points, to, you know, going into this thing. I think it'll quite, I think that, that stuff will come naturally out of it. And then there's my favorite part of what we do, which is, doesn't matter what we think the metaphors are. What's interesting is what you all think the metaphors are. You know, it's what the audience brings to it and the fans bring to it. You know, I've heard so many wonderful interpretations on all of my things or aspects of things I've done that never even occurred to me. And I'll hear, yeah, you know, I'll get that feedback and I'll think, yeah, that's cool.
But, you know, in this show, true, also in terms of the zombie stuff is, you know, we don't have like the Santa Claus zombie, we don't have the priest zombie, we don't have the policeman or the cheerleader zombie. You know, George always added that satirical aspect of, oh, there's a nurse, there's this, you know, like the butcher who still has his meat cleaver in his hand and he's walking around. But, you know, that was
like none of these people were hearing that the world was falling apart
and took their apron off, this butcher's apron, like, off. Yeah.
Oh no, I think I need to go to cheerleading practice because apparently there's this horrible outbreak of something, but I can't miss that cheerleading or my bowling league. It's like, what, are you crazy? You know, George got away with it because he is George,
yeah, and that was his thing,
and there was something about seeing a clown zombie.
Yeah, and you kind of go, oh, that's funny.
That was funny.
You know? But a lot of the extras, even people on our crew that have come up and say, I want to be a zombie, and Constantine, who's our EPK guy, he's like, oh, I want to dress as a priest. And people would start coming up to me and telling me their ideas, and I'm like, nope. Mm-hmm. I said, Frank's not going to like that. That's not what our zombies represent. They're just everyday people that, you know, you don't need their clothing to define who they are.
Yeah.
They're part of this massive horde of carnivorous creatures that are going to eat. They're starving to death. You figure you put all of us in this room and you leave us in here long enough, we'll start eating whatever we need to eat. That's
right. And you know, I'm always trying to pin this to the idea of reality because I did get a lot of questions like that. It's like, oh, we could have a ballerina zombie. And it's like, no. Put your head where it needs to be, because if there's Hurricane Katrina, nobody's going to ballet practice. If there's a fucking earthquake in Los Angeles where, you know, buildings, like serious buildings fall over, and there's a civil emergency and lives are in danger, nobody's going to hockey practice. Nobody's going, you know, what put that backstory in your heads and then tell me what these zombies look like. That's been very important to me because I want to take the premise seriously and not make light of it.
Thank you so much, Frank and Greg, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to dailyactor.com, and if you're listening to us on iTunes, please rate us. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.